Please be seated. Well, how many of you are getting ready for one final summer getaway? Labor Day approacheth. Anybody? Yeah. And of those people, anybody going camping? Eric? Anybody else? Ooh. Lillian? Wonderful. I guess it's fair to say that I'm a nervous camper. As contrasted with Denise, who I would say is an excited camper. I just want you to picture The Price is Right. You know the contestants, when they come down, they've been called out. That's the kind of excitement Denise has about camping. Hardly an exaggeration. For me, the most nervous time is the unpacking phase, when I discover what crucial bits of equipment I have forgotten. Oh, no flashlights. Oh, no spatula. Well, I guess there will be no pancakes. Notice the negative conclusions. For Denise, the unpacking phase is one of sheer excitement. Oh, no flashlight batteries. Cool. We get to make torches and read and play Scrabble by firelight. No spatula? Well, that's what that rock flake and stick and dried out seedweed are for. We're going to make one. I've seen her do it. I was reminded about camping prep as I thought about the conclusion to the letter to the Ephesians, and Shannon and I did not collaborate on the talk she gave, so obviously we were thinking along similar lines. It really is one of the most memorable metaphors in the New Testament. To this point, the author has been using metaphysical language to describe our relationship with God. So phrases like, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, or the immeasurable power of God for those who believe. It makes the tone of Ephesians, as I said a few weeks ago, kind of cosmic. Probably the most cosmic sounding piece of writing in the New Testament. So how to bring this down to earth? How to help ordinary Christians, like those Ephesians, like us, move from the cosmic Christ to commitment, from wonder, which is awesome. I love the wonder of the cosmic Christ, to walking with our neighbors, walking in this world. Well, enter the metaphor, as Shannon said, of the soldier's kit. Soldiers' clothing and weapons would have been uncomfortably familiar to many in Ephesus. Rome's peace came at the sword tip of the army. Not always welcome, but certainly memorable. Now, it's one thing, isn't it, to have an idyllic vision of what it will mean to camp in some of the most beautiful spots on earth that we have here in BC, up in the Rockies maybe, or Strathcona Park. It's quite another to know you have the right gear and then that you know how to use it. This is where the image of the soldier's kit is so useful, for the soldier is like a snail. The soldier takes his house with him. He carries with him what he needs to do his job, to face danger, to keep the peace, and if he's on campaign, what he needs to set up camp at the end of the day, sometimes in inhospitable surroundings. A soldier who forgets something in his kit is probably going to be in a far more serious position than if I forget to pack a spatula for the pancakes. The question then for the Ephesians and for us is similar. How do we take the immeasurable gifts of God out into the walkways of our institutions, our marketplaces, our families? And I think it's important to be clear that if Paul were looking around today, he'd look to examples that were common to us, what he would see on the streets of Oak Bay and Saanich, what's in a construction worker's toolkit, what does a nurse need to do her job, or what's in a high school or university student's backpack. Whatever the case, we need a metaphor for the Christian kit or backpack. But please don't take the metaphor literally. Paul's armor metaphor is not a literal call to arms, as some have read it and are reading it today. That would be a direct contradiction of what Paul is saying, but also a contradiction of Christ's message and life. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic, there's that word again, powers of this present darkness. In 1986, Frank Peretti wrote a novel of that same title, This Present Darkness, in which he pictured this warfare as Christians banding together against demonic forces of various sorts. "I stand against you, Satan," was a prayer one would often hear in charismatic circles in which that book was popular and within which I learned to be a pastor. Circles in which people took Peretti's descriptions of the demonic realm as a kind of fifth gospel. But most often, these spiritual forces manifest in the mundane world of human ambitions, perspectives, and actions. Spiritual forces are the vibe, if you will, the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age that sways us, that influences our choices and societal choices in all spheres of life. It's usually impossible to pinpoint their source. I mean, did certain persons of influence, politically, economically, sow these ideas? Or did already widely held intuitions of the masses, if you will, bubble up and allow these sorts of people to have influence? It's a question, of course, we're asking in our political climate today. And it's kind of this chicken and egg conundrum. We're not really sure. Sometimes this spirit of the times, these spiritual forces, result in realities that only become apparent after many decades. So, for example, free trade deals that have given us relatively cheap gadgets have at the same time robbed ordinary people of their meaningful work. What proved lucrative for those able to invest proved a bad deal for the ordinary person. Now, before you get all upset, that's an oversimplification. I know I'm not an economist. But it was kind of my political awakening in 1988 when I protested against the free trade deal. So it may not be actually true, but it's perceived to be true by millions of people. Or the fact that this dominant worldview has urged the ramping up of resource extraction at unsustainable levels. And here I'm not going on what might be, but in fact on what has been measured. Such unsustainable levels that up to 70% of all wild animals have disappeared on our planet since the year 1970. That's an astounding figure, based largely, as far as we can tell, on large-scale choices enacted. So, spiritual forces of evil don't often appear evil, they just kind of percolate around. They don't make themselves obvious. And they're present from the boardroom to the classroom, certainly from the pulpit, This space is not safe from these forces, and of course, all the way up to the political arena. But, so my point isn't to diagnose the issue, really. My point is to preach good news. And the good news for the writer to the Ephesians is he doesn't think that the reality of these spiritual powers are some kind of ultimate roadblock for anyone, for any society, for the human race as a whole, and not for anyone in this room. It is ordinary people partnering with Christ in community life like ours that will yet win the day. The challenges are real, but so is the provision. And it's more than enough. Part of the brilliance of the metaphor of using the example of a soldier's kit is to highlight that each community has what it needs. We have what we need for whatever spiritual journey we're on, personally or as a group. God has given us not some big, cumbersome U-Haul trailer, you know, the fact that we need to read thousands of books and get a PhD in theology before we're ready, but has given us a skillfully provisioned light pack that allows us to adapt to our lives, even as they don't often go as planned. Here's the thing, we might be nervous campers, at least I will probably always be a nervous camper, but none of us need to be nervous Christians. We won't, by the powerful grace of God, look into our pack and not find what we need. Not find what we might yet learn together with the help of others as we face the challenges of society. Not find what we need to help us face our own lives, the challenges in our relationships. Not find what we need to face the illness that is now staring us in the face. Indeed, eventually for all of us, our own deaths. The provision of Christ with us is never in question. The only question is, are we learning to become who we are? To use the gifts at hand, as it were. You can see that I've chosen not to riff on the weapons and the clothing of the metaphor, not because they aren't richly suggestive, and so we see the author of the letter doing so, but because no one here in this room will probably ever wear or use the garb and weapons of a Roman soldier unless sometime in our lifetime they invent time travel. Highly unlikely. But I'll make an exception for the one crossover bit that we can relate to, the shoes. It's right at the heart of the reflection, perhaps you noticed. But shoes aren't as snazzy as helmets, daggers, or shields. So we might not have given it a second thought. But ask anyone who's ever done the Camino pilgrimage. Ask anyone who's ever planned a multi-day backcountry camping trip. You can have all the right gear in your pack, but if your shoes aren't up to snuff, if they don't fit properly, if they're not right for your insole, that pilgrimage, that long planned camping trip can all fall apart in a day or less. And of course, in the ancient world, shoes were the main form of transport for soldiers. I'm betting Hannibal's army wished it would have had cleats as they climbed up through the Alps with their elephants and everything. But what the writer is getting after is the intention of the shoe wearer. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. It matters not whether the shoes are sneakers or loafers or ballet slippers or high heels or even combat boots. You may even need to wear different shoes on different days. But our intention, the goal, what we use this Christian kit for, what the Christian life is all about. Well, that's the important thing to be clear about. It's all important, in fact, and can always, always be the same. The good of all, the peace of all. For that is Christ's intention, the wholeness of humankind and creation. And so as we head off to school or to the nurse's station, to the gym, or even to a place like this, we're all called to stay alert, to pray, to help, to ask for help from all the saints as we need it. But the thing that really makes the difference is to know that we have everything we need in our kit. Everything we need for the particular challenges ahead of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.